Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
And good evening. You're in Spirit Lounge and you're with Joy the Priest.
And Patty the Pom.
And Peter the Panelist, because we have lost our Poof. He's in Tasmania. So if anyone sees him, Andrew the Poof, please give him a big hug from us.
Hello. If you see a lost Poof, please can you send him home?
He was wondering what he should do in Tasmania. We sent him down to the fish and chip shop down at the wharf.
He's taking pictures of buildings and putting them on Facebook. Have you had a look?
No, I haven't.
I don't quite know what the fascination is about buildings, but anyway. Oh, okay. Hi, Andrew. Anyway, we have a fun-packed program tonight. This is Spirit Lounge. We're on every Monday from 9 till 10. And tonight we're talking to two very fascinating young ladies who both hail from San Francisco, but they are circumventing the world at the moment. And they have a website called Out and Around, and we're going to hear what they're doing out and around.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, isn't it?
Great.
I was having a look at it today, and they've been to New Zealand and Australia, and they're now in
the Philippines.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we're going to talk to them. We're also going to talk about Ramadan. Ramadan finishes tomorrow, and we did try to get someone to come on air and talk to us about it, but we were unsuccessful. So I've been doing a little bit of research and finding what Ramadan is and what happens when they finish Ramadan.
Stop fasting, yeah. Mm. And Spirit Spa. I'm going to talk about that free stuff that pours out of your tap, cold water.
Well, it's not appropriate because it would be in the spa, wouldn't it?
Well, I know. And as you pointed out in my notes, what did it say? 90% of one's brain is water. And I said, well, 90% of mine is wine.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, sort of 100% of my brain's mush at the moment. So anyway, we're going to start with David Meese, who our panellist tells us he had a crush on this man, so with a track called Got to Know You're There.
I've got to have you there beside me, no matter what it takes to be.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Palm, and the panellist tonight. No Poof, because he's wandering about in Hobart in Tasmania. And we are now joined on the phone by two incredible ladies, Lisa and Jenny. Good evening.
Hey there. Good evening to you.
Thank you so much for joining us. You're talking to Bertie, and to my left is Joy, and that is the name of the radio station, and the Priest.
Hi, Lisa and Jenny.
Hello.
Now, I know there's a slight delay because here we are in Melbourne talking on a US mobile to you in the Philippines. So there is a slight delay, but we're going to be fine. Now, ladies, tell us, what is Out and Around?
Sure. So Out and Around is our journey as we travel around the world for 1 year and travel to 16 countries to talk to LGBT people around the world. We actually had a great time in Australia recently. We were there in Brisbane and Sydney. So we're so sad that we missed Melbourne. It will have to be on our next trip.
Yeah.
But, you know, part of our trip is, we're looking for super gays. We, you know, it's our term that we call extraordinary LGBT people who are making an impact for the community. And they could be doing it in everything from arts, politics, entertainment, military, you name it. We've talked to people in all aspects of society.
So who did you talk to in Australia, can we ask?
Sure. We met with former High Court Judge Michael Kirby, who was just an amazing man and has done so much for the country. I mean, as Americans, we think, oh my gosh, what if we had a Supreme Court judge as awesome as Michael Kirby? I think so many of our laws would be different. So he was just very inspiring. And we also connected with the local lesbian community in Sydney and the scene out there in Brisbane. So we had a fantastic time.
You've also been to my home country, Aotearoa, New Zealand.
That's right, your neighboring country, your rival country. Yes, we also watched we watched Australia beat them in netball and in rugby when we were there. So the New Zealanders were pretty sad. But yeah, we had a great time in New Zealand. We had a chance to talk with Stu and Tom, who are in the New Zealand Air Force. And, you know, in New Zealand, obviously, they're, you know, gays are very much part of the Air Force. And what was really neat was that Stu's actually also working with the Americans because, as you know, the U.S. recently repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So he's consulting with them and sharing his experience in the New Zealand military and what that looks like to have a...
Hmm. Fascinating. Now, have we still got connection? Are you still with us? I think we might have to just redial. That's just the challenges of talking to on US mobiles over way over in the Philippines. So we'll rejoin Lisa and Jenny just in a second. In the meantime, if you're listening and you want to ask any questions, do give us a call. We're on 1-300-JOY-949. You can SMS us on 0427-JOY-949 or send us an email on air@joy.org.au. And we're going to pick up now with a track from my fellow country person, Amy MacDonald.
Hi, this is Katie Lang. Show your support for Joy. Call up and become a member.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with Joy the Priest and Bertie the Pom. And we're talking with Lisa and Jenny from Out and Around. Can you tell us what on earth made you start this journey?
What on earth made us start this journey? Well, this is Jenny, and it had been my dream to travel for a long time, and I really wanted to do it with a partner. So when I found Lisa, from the very get-go of our relationship, I started feeding this idea into her brain and said, you know, I was saying, you know, why don't we just leave our jobs for a while and travel around, you know, for a year? And eventually I got her to buy into it, and then we were thinking, well, what are we going to do for a year? We really wanted to do something that would make a difference. And so we bounced around a ton of ideas, and as you may be familiar, in the U.S., there's a campaign called It Gets Better that was started by a radio personality, and this was where, in response to a lot of the bullying that was happening to high school kids, gay high school kids, people were sending in videos, including gay celebrities, of themselves talking about how they were going through, how they had gone through a hard time in high school and how their lives got better as they grew older. And so we kind of want to take that idea and take it to the next level, which is not only can you survive bad times and that life gets better, but that actually there are amazing people around the world who are gay and who are, you know, or lesbian, transsexual, or transgender, and who are doing amazing things around the world. And so we wanted to find stories of hope, and that's really what inspired this project.
That's brilliant, girls. And so how, you know, the world's a big place. How did you decide which countries to visit?
It was a tough negotiation process between Jenny and I. At first we had about 5 years of travel planned. And then doing this project, we wanted to focus on places where we spoke languages. So I speak Spanish and Jenny speaks Mandarin. And we wanted to also optimize places where we had contacts or places that we had traveled to before that we wanted to explore further. Places where we had family. We wanted to focus also on developing countries because, you know, there's just been a lot of gay press in Europe and you know, in the U.S. and you know, countries that are far wealthier. So we really wanted to highlight struggles of the developing world. And then we also wanted to go to countries where we could where we could afford it, where our dollar was stretched the most. So we came up with 16 countries in Asia, Africa, and South America.
Is this a spiritual journey for you?
It definitely is. I mean, it's a test of all different types of faith. I mean, thinking, quitting your job, taking a risk, you know, jumping out on a ledge with a partner is really a leap of faith. Jenny and I actually are, we kind of joke because we're both kind of church junkies. I sing in a church choir at home in San Francisco, and Jenny plays the guitar in her church. So there are mornings where I go to church. We have two services at 9 and 11, and, you know, rehearsal beforehand, and then Jenny starts rehearsal at 2 o'clock for her band, and they have their service in the evening. So, you know, definitely spirituality is something that brought us together and something that's led us to, you know, leave all security and forge ahead with our dreams and our beliefs.
How are you finding the people to talk to? And obviously you want some of them to perhaps be from the various faiths and religions around the world, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what we do is, you know, we really touched base with our network in San Francisco and asked everyone we knew to you know, kind of think about where they had traveled and where they might have friends or family. And then I just sent a bazillion emails out to LGBT organizations. And then in certain countries, you know, certainly Indonesia, I didn't get many responses at all. It's just, it's going to the gay bar. It's talking to people. It's finding the, you know, random, you know, European lesbian who might be living in a Peace Corps job and asking her, you know, what her experience has been the last 3 years and getting direction. So, I mean, the most amazing thing really about the LGBT community is that people really treat you like extended family. So, I mean, we've had success from people who've heard us on radio stations or a newspaper article write us and tell us, hey, you should go here, or I heard you're going to China. This is someone you really need to talk to. And people have been very welcoming towards us. So we feel quite lucky.
Where are you currently, and where are you heading next?
We are currently in the Philippines, and our next stop, in a couple days, we'll be leaving the Philippines, and we will be heading over to Phnom Penh, Cambodia.
So what's it like for people in the Philippines who are gay? Is it all underground, or is it all quite free and open?
You know, I think in the Philippines, it's relatively open when you compare it to most of the Asian countries in this region. It's probably one of the most open places. What's interesting, though, is as we've talked to people, what they feel is that the gays, lesbians, and trans people have a certain place in society, particularly in the arts or in entertainment, but outside of that, they're still not treated equally. And, you know, people have different attitudes. We just interviewed Ricky Reyes, who is a very famous celebrity TV host, TV show person, who is famous because he's a famous hairdresser, and he does an amazing amount of work helping the poor people in Philippines. But you know, for him, his attitude is more like, hey, you know, I'm gay, but you know, it's okay if legally it's okay if legally I'm not recognized, because what I do is my own business and I don't expect people to recognize me, you know? And so that's a very different, I think, attitude than, say, what the LGBT community wants in the U.S. or in Australia. But then we also talked to a gay film director in the Philippines who was very opposite. He wanted equality. He really wanted equality. So I think you see different attitudes in the Philippines. And before the Philippines, we came from Indonesia, which is, as you know, the world's largest Muslim nation. And so that was a place where being gay was indeed very underground. And, you know, people there, faith is a very big deal. And, you know, the LGBT community is definitely persecuted by Muslim conservative people. However, at the same time, they're still able to live underground as long as they don't flaunt it, I guess. You know, as long as they keep what's private in the private, they can live. But, you know, it's difficult. And we spent a whole day with Agra, who's a guy that we met. And he's actually Hindu, because we were in Bali, which is primarily Hindu. And, you know, he lives with his partner, but he's not out. You know, he's not out to his family. And even when we were in public together, he'd be like, oh, you can't be too affectionate here. But at the same time, he also works with an HIV outreach worker. So it's kind of a land of contradictions, you know, where it's under the closet, but people still find ways to live and to still do good work in spite of that.
It just sounds absolutely amazing. I was looking at some of the interviews on your website. What are you going to do with them all when you get back to San Francisco? Have you got plans?
Yeah, you know, we plan to make it. Well, we're making an educational documentary, and we plan to tour in the U.S. and use this as a platform to open up educational talks and conversations with churches and schools. You know, I'm a social worker, and certainly before I left, I hit some schools and talked about my journey. And Jenny also talked to church groups, evangelical church groups, about her life and about what we're doing. And it just opened up the conversation. Mm. I think one of the things our project is showing is that LGBT people are everywhere. And, yeah. You know, we're a very resilient group that aren't going away. So, you know, we're from San Francisco. I mean, our lives, you know, are golden. We're very, very lucky. That's one of the things that we keep saying to ourselves over and over again. Mm. And so, you know, we want to affirm the work that's happening in the developing world and be supportive of it. And, you know, certainly there's a lot that we can learn. I mean, you know, there's a lot San Franciscans can learn about, you know, the developing world and the LGBT struggle.
Well, ladies, we're going to have to leave it there. It has been absolutely inspirational to talk to you. You two are amazing. Good luck. Keep safe. And would you like to tell everyone where they can track your progress?
Sure. You can find us at www.outandaround.com. Or Out and Around, Stories of a Not-So-Straight Journey.
Can we contact you in a couple of months and see where you are and what you're doing?
Yeah, please do. And we also are on Twitter and Facebook. So we'd love to talk to you more and keep in touch. And we're also producing videos of all of our journeys and our interviews. So if you go to our website, you can check out our interviews with the people that we meet. Yeah, you can catch up. We have a video for each country, a short summary, you know, 3 minutes. And they're a lot of fun to put together. We hope you enjoy them.
They're fabulous. Look, thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, take care.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with Joy and with Bertie. And that was Fika and Linda with a special song for Lisa and Jenny, who are over there in the Philippines, and that's called I'm On My Way. And they were fabulous, weren't they?
Yeah, where are they from? That's an unusual name.
They're Australian, but they're from Tongan.
I like them. Descent. I like that music.
They used to be in the Black Sorrows, which was a fabulous Australian band.
Uh-huh.
So I was talking about that Lisa and Jenny, who are an amazing couple, aren't they?
They are, yeah. We've just done a fabulous interview, and if you've missed it, do go on and have a look at outandaround.com. This is the website that's following these two amazing women from San Francisco who are travelling around the world and hunting out the super gay people.
And very cute too, might I say.
They are very cute looking.
Yeah, it's good on the eye, aren't they? Very important. We're going to talk about Ramadan, yes. Ramadan finishes, well, today's the last day, and tomorrow they celebrate. Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, so it goes for the whole of that ninth month, and it's a time of fasting for the Islamic people, and every day during that time they abstain from eating, drinking, smoking. Oh, that would be hard if you're a smoker, wouldn't it?
It's good discipline, though, isn't it? Because that's what it's about.
And also from having sex.
And this is just during the day, though, during daylight
hours?
Yeah,
from dawn until sunset. So you'd have to get up really early to have breakfast in the dark. And then you have to wait until the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they abstain from anything that is ill-natured or excessive. Maybe they should do that all the time. I find that a bit strange.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, here's a question, though. If Ramadan is... Is Ramadan the same ninth month no matter where you are in the world?
Yes.
So it's Ramadan in North America, for example, or in Scandinavia. So, of course, it's a different, I mean, it's summer there, so there's more daylight hours.
Yeah,
so
it'd be harder.
Harder, yeah.
And, you know, and it changes so that in Australia, at times, it's in,
oh,
in
the
summer.
So,
it, yeah, it moves. It's a different calendar so it's completely to ours.
Quite useful when it's in the winter then, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's much better for them, yeah. And the fasting is intended to educate them in spirituality, humility and patience.
Humility?
So I don't think it would teach me patience, but I mean, when's the blooming sun going to go down?
It would teach you how to be an old grump, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it's time to cleanse the soul, focus attention on God and put into practice selfishness.
Hmm.
Selflessness.
Selflessness.
Selflessness, yes. And they pray more than is normal. They pray a lot anyway, so I'm impressed. And during Ramadan, they request forgiveness for sins in the past, pray for direction and assistance in abstaining from everyday troubles, and endeavour to cleanse themselves through self-control and great acts of faith. And this all ends tomorrow.
And then they have a big party, don't they?
Yeah, they have. Well, certainly in Muslim countries, they have 3 days off, like we would at Easter.
Mm-hmm.
They have 3 days to celebrate the festival of fast breaking. And during that time, they actually give in charity to those in need. And they also celebrate with their friends and family. And they get together and they eat and they eat.
Well, I'm not surprised. They've been fasting for a month.
But I think, I'm not sure in Australia if they have 3 days. I certainly know a friend of mine who's married to a Muslim is taking tomorrow off work and is going somewhere for breakfast, somewhere for lunch and somewhere for dinner. And they also have go to the mosque and they gather outside and there's streets around Melbourne where the streets will be blocked off and all the Muslims will go there. So even Muslims that don't normally go to the mosque, it's like Christian people who go at Easter. To the church. The Muslims that don't normally go to the mosque will go to the mosque tomorrow.
So
for the
there'll
end
be
of
some street
Ramadan.
Parties in Melbourne tomorrow then?
They'll be praying.
Oh, sorry. Too focused on food and drink again.
Exactly. They don't drink the sort of stuff that you drink.
Well, if you're Muslim, have a lovely day off tomorrow and enjoy the end of Ramadan.
Yes.
How wonderful. Now, we're going to play another tune.
We certainly are.
This is one of my favourite ladies, Madeleine Peru. This is called Backyard.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with the priest and the pom and the panellist. And we've received a message from Tristan, who is listening to us, and he's got a nice fruity wine.
We are jealous.
I would like a nice Shiraz, I think. Tristan, thank you.
Pop round with the bottle, darling. Now, Tristan also wants to know where he can buy that lovely music that we've just been playing. Now, Tristan, that music is from a fantastic lady called Madeleine Peru, and it's spelled P-E-Y-R-O-U-X. That particular album is with William Gallison. You probably don't need to know that bit. And it's called Got You On My Mind. But if you Google Madeleine Peru or go onto iTunes, she is the most wonderful singer. And yes, a lot of the music is that kind of style. So I hope you enjoy her music. And now it's time for us to strip off and jump into the spa. Yeah. And this week, I'm going to be talking about that stuff that you jump into.
Bubbles.
No, you drink that.
Oh, sorry. You've got it wrong again.
We're talking about water. We are talking about this most vital of thing, because without air and water, of course, us human beings can't survive. And I thought, well, here we are. Let's just have a look at water and why is it good for us and how much should we be drinking? Because in quite a few programs ago now, we posed the question, is it safe to drink water out of plastic bottles, do you remember? And we came to the conclusion that yes, it's okay, but you don't recycle the bottles and it's better to drink out of a stainless steel.
And I went and brought one.
You did, and I'm sitting here drinking out of a plastic bottle, but it is new and fresh.
But you're not going to recycle it, we know that.
Of course I'll recycle it. So what's interesting about water is that we start our lives out in our mother's womb, which is an aquatic environment. So we start life out, I think, having a bit of a swim. Our body is between 60 and 75% of water. And guess what? The human brain consists of 90% water.
Yeah. I was going to make a rude comment, but I think I will refrain from that.
As long as you've brought your 10% tonight, that's okay. And do you know what? The same goes for the planet, because approximately 3/4 of the Earth's surface is water. So it's all around.
Probably slightly more at the moment.
Probably,
with the,
I know.
With New York having a little more water than they normally do.
I know, and all the neighbouring states as well. Mm. So hello to all you listeners in New York. I hope you're okay and got your wellies on. But I think it wasn't too bad, was it?
Not as bad as they were predicting.
Yeah,
but
good.
The umbrellas seem to be blowing inside out.
So water does vital functions for the body. It transports oxygen and nutrients to your cells. It maintains muscle tone. It regulates body temperature. It maintains healthy organ function. It detoxifies and it helps metabolism. Now, those are all really important things, aren't they?
Yes.
For us to feel okay every day. There's a doctor called, I love this name, Dr. Sang Wang. And Dr. Sang Wang, he's the author of a book called Reverse Aging, which is really interesting. And this book, in a nutshell, looks at the accumulation of acidic wastes that build up in the body. And this happens when you don't drink enough water. And this is what starts to make people unwell. Our organs are made up of cells, and cells are made up, they are made of and live in water solution. If we don't drink enough water, what happens is the blood thickens. It doesn't flow around your body well enough. It means that your body is then not detoxing properly. And gradually what happens is you get this buildup of acidic waste in your body. And your cells aren't getting the proper levels of oxygen and nutrition that they need. And then eventually what happens is that the cells, instead of becoming oxidative mechanisms, they start to ferment, a bit like wine. This is when cells become cancerous.
Sounds very depressing.
In a nutshell, that's the connection that this author has made between drinking lots of water and keeping your body, you know, really, really hydrated. And of course, a byproduct of that is that if you are lacking water, you tend to age, not only on the outside, your skin, but also inside your organs. So we've got to drink enough water. And believe me, it helps with joint pain and arthritis. It helps with your arteries, neurological disorders, depression, sleeplessness, low energy levels, the onset of osteoporosis. The bones consist 22% water. So it's really important, whether it's just keeping your eyes moisturized because you're looking at that computer all day in a dusty, hot office. So put some eye drops in, drink lots of water. All that fluid in your body just helps them. The skin. And again, you know, men's circulation is slightly more powerful than women's. So it tends to bring the vessels, you know, the blood flow to the surface, to the skin more in men. So that's why women have to moisturize more, drink more water for their facial skin, because that dehydrates being exposed the whole time. And the big thing that people don't get is weight loss, because if you don't drink enough water, what your body does is it retains the water because it doesn't know where it's going to get the next glass from. So if you actually try and drink that 1 or 2 litres a day, and we'll come on to that in a minute, your body then starts to trust you to say, okay, I'm getting a regular supply of water, so I don't need to retain this water anymore. And actually, you're detoxing and you're getting rid of more fluids. And that's the big thing that people don't actually understand. And so the big question is, how much water should we drink every day? And we've all read and heard different answers to that, haven't we? It's subject to gender, age, weight, levels of physical activity. Are you running around all day? Do you work out? Environment, the climate that we live in. Are you living in the North Pole? Are you living in the Sahara Desert? In general, what they say is women should be drinking between 1 and 2 litres a day, and men should be drinking between 2 and 3 litres
a
day.
Could I just ask a question, though?
Yes.
You
can't go to the loo.
But I've been drinking water, I have to. When you say 1 to 2 litres a day, is that just straight water?
Yep.
Because the trouble with a lot of older people is they don't actually drink straight water. They drink cups of tea, cups of tea, don't they? And they don't actually, and they get dehydrated.
It does count. I mean, there's a lot of moisture in, there's a lot of water in some foods. I mean, fruit, for example, actually does contain water. That tea, coffee to a point, but that's a diuretic. It's also too much caffeine. But, you can have cordials. Yes, even fizzy water, although because it's carbonated, the carbon is not good for the body. So really, you should be drinking still water. And if water is boring and dull, then just flavour it with some, like, cordial, but not too sugary, sweetie cordial. The worst thing you can possibly do is drink all those fizzy drinks, because they don't count at all.
We have a problem at home where our water actually doesn't taste nice.
Actually, I don't find Melbourne water very nice.
I don't mind water at work. It's really nice. But at home, for some reason, our water doesn't taste nice. So we need to get some sort of filter on it. But
the inside of my kettle looks very strange here. But but it's free and we should all be drinking lots of it. And those are the reasons why. So I hope that helped.
We've got a SMS from Chris. Evening, girls. Interested in listening to what Ramadan should be compared to what it is. Just easier. Just like Easter, I guess. I'm surprised that no one from the queer Muslim group here would be available to talk to you. Cheers, Chris. Well, thank you for that, Chris. And yes, we did try several ways to get someone to talk to us about it. But I hope you enjoyed that information. And sitting there drinking lots of water. Tristan, add some water with your wine. And now we're going to hear, because Andrew's not here, we're going to have a KD Lang and her song with Roy Orbison called Crying.
I was all right for a while.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with Joy the Priest.
I'm Bertie the Bomb.
And we've lost Andrew the Poof.
Yeah, lost in Hobart.
But for the next week, 3 weeks, you're going to lose me.
Yes, where are you off to?
I'm off to Perth. I'm going to become a Perthian for 3 weeks. No, well, 2 weeks really, but 3 Mondays.
Mm.
And we're leaving at 6:15 a.m.
Is that because you bought a cheap ticket?
Yeah. Not on Tiger, though.
No, I'll never see you again.
It's disgusting, really, because by the time you leave to the airport, it's 4:45 in the morning.
Well, you may as well not go to bed.
Well, that's what Gwen keeps saying.
Yeah, just stay up all night and just go, and then, yeah.
Sleep on the plane on the way over.
Well, because I think sometimes if you have that snatched sleep, actually you feel worse.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's really important that when people do take time out, because I, as you know, work for the State Emergency Service, and people are saying, oh, will you still be contactable? And I go, no. You know, my pager doesn't work out of the state.
Mm,
my phone will be turned off.
Yep.
My other phone will be turned on once a day to check messages.
Mm.
And that's it.
But it's important to have a break. You know, I had a wonderful, wonderful GP at home who is Australian. But this is in London. And Liz, my GP, always used to say that us lot who really working in the fast lane in terms of corporate life should take regular breaks. And regular breaks means a minimum of 4 days, so like a long weekend. And should take regular break, you know, every couple of months.
Well, I think part of, you know, we're here to talk about spirituality. And part of that is to allow yourself time to unwind, to re-energize, to reinvigorate your spirit. Otherwise, you can't keep going.
Eventually you
stop.
And no, because you're running on empty and you're not giving, you know, you're not giving it all in whatever you're doing, are you? Because you're half asleep.
No. And we normally spend the first week pretty much sitting around having a couple of Cokes. Or zeros, you know, and reading books.
I so don't believe the Coke bit, sorry. there's a nasty rumour that there are a lot of really gorgeous wineries out in Western Australia.
Oh, is it? Well, I wouldn't know anything about that. We're not driving down to Margaret River at all. Except that my partner's niece is down there, so we have to go down there to visit.
Oh, there you go then.
And we had to go for 4 nights to visit. So, you know, it's sacrifices
I'll give
you make.
I'll give you a list of all the good ones, because I tried them out for you back in March, remember?
Yes, but it is wildfire flower season, and my gorgeous woman loves flowers.
Aww.
And so I've organised a four-wheel drive tour to go and see wildflowers.
I hope that wasn't a surprise and she's listening.
No, it wasn't a surprise.
Well, we've had a great show tonight, and for those of you who missed the first half, shame on you, because we were interviewing two fabulous, fabulous girls from San Francisco called Lisa and Jenny, and their website is outandaround.com, and they are on a 12-month journey round Africa and Asia and South America and these amazing countries, looking for the super gays to interview and to find out what life's like America when it's not quite as easy as living in San Francisco and being gay. And so they interview beautifully, and actually we're going to try and catch up with them every 2 or 3 months and follow their journey. So do have a look. That was a great, great interview. And anyway, we're going to pop some more music on just before the end of the show. And I don't know what we're putting on, actually.
It's yours with Darren Hayes.
It's at the bottom. You see, if I put my glasses on, oh, look, now the world's, now the world's
oh,
a better place.
Oh, it's you there.
Now, this is the lovely Darren Hayes, and this is my favourite track, Insatiable.
And good night from us both.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.